he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The cop said if a man ever got saved and filled with the Spirit of God, it would start flowing. I got an inquisitive mind. I don't have an educated mind. I wish I had, but I always had an inquisitive mind, and I wondered how they ever got all of them blood and guts and mess out of that temple. I've asked some people about that. I could just see them killing all them lambs and all them sacrifices, and I wonder how they got all that mess out of that. I got to think about all the flies and the garbage and the grass and all them blood and guts, and I just wonder how they got all that mess out of that. 80,000 they sacrificed this day. Now that's what you call a bloody mess. If any of y'all have been to Israel, I never have been, but I've talked to some of these men that have been. They say down there, there's just a little hole there and a big spring there where that water comes out and goes on down and runs into the Jordan. And they just take that fresh water out of that ark and just wash that temple out. Them Jews knew exactly what Jesus was talking about here. He said, there inside of you going to be an artesian well, just like in that temple, washing you out. The reason some of you are so dirty, you ain't never got a hold of that artesian well. You got a pump handle on it. That won't work. That won't work now. Pump handle won't work on salvation. I was listening to Dr. J. Frank Norris' tape the other night on the Holy Spirit. I sure didn't like that. He says most of y'all keep talking about the terminology instead of knowing him, the Holy Ghost. There's some men sitting here today, you're orthodox, but your orthodox is dead. And you think that knowledge is going to take care of being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. They're never going to work. Mission board called me here a while back, and they said, Brother Wood, this missionary is not going to work. Said in Mormon land they don't like happy Baptists. I said, how's the unhappy Baptist doing out there? They're leaving there just day after day after day. But just because a man would pray a little bit different, or him and his family would all pray at one time, and they couldn't understand that. In other words, you had to be silent. You had to be like a Catholic. You had to be like a Mormon. And I said, sir, what religion is going faster than any other religion in Mormon land? He said, the charismatics. And I said, why wouldn't the Happy Baptist work out there? Well, that missionary, he's still there. He's been there 5 years. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, this woman was talking in verse 6. And chapter 4, we'll get to the message in a minute. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well. I think that's where some of y'all need to get tonight, to the well. Jesus asked that woman a question, and she said, Jacob gave us our well. Have you got a well tonight? That woman broke that alabaster box and something run out of that. Whatever it was, the fragrance filled the room. And most Baptists I get around, when they open their mouth, ain't nothing fills the room but a bunch of filth and dirt. Criticism and sourness and ugliness. Thank you, Brother Wood. But in verse 33, Jacob had heard from God. Most of you know in verse 32, the Bible said, and Jacob went his way, and the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, who? The angel. This is God's host. And he called that place some Jew name. God began to speak to Jacob. Jacob said, I'm going home. The Bible said in 33:18, and Jacob came to Shechem, the city of Shechem. That's where he dug the well. He dug him a well in Shechem. How deep did he dig it, Brother Wood? I don't know. He stayed there a couple thousand years. And I asked Tim Green the other day to have a drink there, and he said, yeah, I drank out of that well. He dug it deep enough. He dug it deep enough. The thousands of years later, Christians are still drinking at that well. How long has it been since a Christian got a drink from you? You said, Brother Wood, I want to tell you, I'm sound off enough. I didn't say a drink of knowledge. I said a drink of water. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've seen some folks that wasn't straight doctrinally that knew God in a real way. I met some old men over in this mountain. They wasn't straight theologically any other way, but they knew God. They'd been to the well two or three times and been dipped under. And I've met some folks that were they knew everything. They were premillennial, fundamental. I mean, they were missionary. They knew all about it. And his dad was 4 o'clock. I'd just about soon be anything as dead. Amen? I know some of y'all ain't gonna get this tonight, but I tell you, I wish I was an artist. When Jacob came there, there's two mountains there, and it's about a mile and a half wide. I just looked in the book of it, and right down in the middle of that place, he dug a well. And for thousands of years, these people said, Jacob gave us this well. I wonder, when Jack Woods is dead down in Houston, what them children going to say, what he'd give us. Said, oh, he taught us the premillennial second coming of the Lord. Didn't read that in any book. You can buy a tape on that anywhere you want to. Ain't going overnight. I can see that right now. But I guarantee you one thing. I'm glad I've been to the well. Oh, I said, but like it anywhere I was going to preach on. But when Jacob come to the city of Shechem in the land of Canaan, when he came from Babylon, he pitched his tent before that city, and he bought a parcel of the field where he had spread his tent in the hand of his children, and Shechem bought for 100 pieces of money, and he erected an altar there. And when he came and built this altar, I'm going to ask you now, how deep is your well? He said, preacher, I got wells of knowledge. So has the Word. You know, I met a lot of unsaved people who knew all about the Great Tribulation. But I ain't never met an unsaved man knew anything about the well. I saw many convicts in prisons that knew how to be saved and could tell you how to be saved. But they didn't know nothing about the well. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm going from camp meet to camp meet this day and time. Some people even shout, don't know nothing about the well. Some people come foreign missionaries and preachers and everything, know nothing about the well. And when you start talking about the well, they get mad. They said, you know what you all are? Just a bunch of happy Baptists. I'd rather be a happy Baptist than an unhappy one. You know, I don't want to be unhappy. Amen. How deep is your well? Is your well deep enough tonight to satisfy your soul? I don't have to come to call like you said. I like to come. I've been coming here for years. I like to come. But I tell you what I like to do. I like to lay in bed and know that the well is springing up. So tonight my wife and I have been tired and laid down and the telephone rang. We were saying, I told about the Lord, and the telephone rang way up in the night. And no other end of the line, the little prostitute said, preacher, said, I need somebody to pray for me. I began to talk to her, maybe talk to her nearly an hour. My wife was laying there praying and started to get a talk to her. And when she started to hang up, I said, honey, have you ever been saved? And she said, no, sir, I never have been. And I began to ask her how old she was. So she was 23, 24. And we began to talk. And I began to tell her about the Lord and how to be saved. And I ain't never seen her from that day to this. She said, somebody gave me two of your tapes on how to be saved. And I listened to those two tapes. And she said, three or four of them little pieces of paper. And I read them paper, but preacher, how do you get saved? And I said, I'm getting down right now. My wife's on the other side of the bed. I'm on this side of the bed. And I said, right now, if you'll get down and ask God to save you, he'll do it. And about 12 o'clock that night, she was born again. The well began to flow. Man, I was all around that room, but nobody but me and God and my wife in there. But my wife said, would you please go to bed? Said, you preached for an hour? Would you please go to bed? Guy, I said, I laid down in the bed, and I finally got up. I said, I'm going to get me a cup of coffee. It's hard to go to bed when the artesian wells are running. Amen. I'm talking about a well. I'm talking about a well, man. I'm talking about no pumped up junk. I ain't talking about the one I have to play a piano, pick on a banjo. Hey, I'm talking about the well of God tonight. How deep is your well? Is it deep enough to satisfy your soul? He said, yeah, as long as I'm around a meeting. Some of you hear God's going to call you to be missionaries. God's going to put you on a fire and field. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of them we're sending out nowadays, they ain't making it. One wrote me this week and said, preacher, I'll just tell you the truth. I resign and come home. My wife said, you know, preacher, said the bad part about it, I was expecting him to come home. I said, why was she expecting? She said, preacher, just didn't look like there was any flow there. Now, you people who know God, you know what I'm talking about. Brother, you can give me all the correct words, and you can fill out a report, and you can pass the mission board, but if there ain't a flow in your life, you're not going to last on that field down there, because there ain't no banjo, ain't no guitar, ain't nothing down there, and you're going to have every excuse in the world to come home. And you say, Brother Wood, where I'm at, pastor, and I just tell you, Brother Wood, they don't want nothing. No! Because what you got ain't a flow in. You get a creek to flow in, and somebody will come by and want to take a swim. Yeah. Is it just deep enough to satisfy you? Remember the story about when the China Inland Mission, when it was all over in China, a couple of missionaries got left there and couldn't get out. They'd been there a couple of years and never had even learned the language. And they was going to win China to God. And instead of winning China to God, they locked him in a prison. And for 5 years, they sat right there. They wasn't able to witness nobody. They wasn't able to talk to nobody. And they finally woke up to the fact that God didn't send them to China to win anybody. God was trying to talk to them. And finally, they said, Lord, it's us you're trying to talk to. And those people went to another field when they left China, when they was released, and became great missionaries of the Lord. As I read their life story, that thing stirred my soul. God might have you where you're at, get you ready where you're going. But you're so interested where you're going, God ain't flowing in the well. Yeah. Are you satisfied? You say, Brother Wood, my church ain't big enough. How big would it have to be to make the well flow? My dad walked up to me, he's an old preacher. He walked up to me one day and I was trying to do this and do that. And he said, Jack, how big would this church have to be for you to be satisfied? He said, I noticed most who's running 2,000 are trying to run 2,010. I noticed most who's running 100 are trying to run 120. And he said, that's complimentary. He said, you ought to be trying to do better. But God, how big would this church have to be for you to be satisfied? Then I finally found out. It is not Christ in the church that I told the whole world, according to Scripture, for me to live is Christ, period. Not in the Sunday school attendance. Look me in the eye right quick. Not how big your class is. You might wind up in jail somewhere and never win nobody to God. So you know God not. How deep is your well? How deep is that well? I mean, you've been getting a drink out of that well every now and then. You said, Brother Wood, I just finally made it here. You better get that well cleaned out. Amen? How deep is the well? I mean, Jacob dug his well. Now, the first mention of it here, we find his well over in Genesis 16, verse 6, verse 7, verse 13, verse 14. Them people were digging wells because that's a desert country. We're Christians, and we live in a barren land. We got to have a well, brother. I'm not talking about no water gun. Some of y'all sitting right here looking, ah. They did that woman, too. That woman come running back that well. I mean, she done met the well, amen? Then she come running back, said, come and see a man that told me all the things. You been to the well? How deep is the well? Is it enough to satisfy your soul? You ever notice when you come across the desert like out in Arizona? I hate a desert. God knows. It'd be hard for God to call me to a desert. You wouldn't want to have to call me and have to handcuff me. I hate a desert. God knows I hate a desert. I live just as close to the coast, to the coastal water as I can get. I just don't like no place where that desert and sand and the mesquite trees. I hate the desert. These Mexican boys up here, they can take that desert, not me. I don't like that. I like it green. I like it lush. I like flowers growing. I like to just see a garden every now and then. And I'm going to tell you something in my Christian life. I got sick and tired of dead Baptist orthodoxy. When I got tired of that, I was doctrinally straight, just as empty as I. But one day, way back yonder, in Marion, Mississippi, I said, Lord, I'm sick and tired of all this junk. I want to know God. Yeah. Yeah. How deep is that well? You said, Brother Wood, I say, I'm very active in this church. I said, how deep is the well? How deep is the well? Is it deep enough to satisfy your soul? I'm going to be very brief tonight. Is it deep enough to separate you from the world? Huh? Or you said, Brother Wood, I tell you, the sign that life is preaching yesterday. Sign! Listen, if the well is deep, you don't have any problem with things. Because when you're satisfied from the world, you won't have to worry about separation. I'll tell you, you can just go in and preach to people who've been to the well, and they'll say, amen. And you can preach to that bunch that ain't never been to the well, and they'll say, oh, me and oh, you. Amen. I just noticed Brother Tim Green, he come in and preached 2 weeks for me in the first 2 weeks of April, and God began to save some people, and people got right with God. And old Sidney Blue come in and stayed 3 weeks, and man, I mean, the well just kept a bubbling, and Friday night, the last night, I said, Sidney, you look kind, let me preach. And I got up and preached, and my boy said, Daddy, you must have been around and preached an hour and 25 minutes. And there's a wave and their hands and a shout. You ever get to the well, it won't bother you. You know how you can tell you ain't been to a well? The sermon's too long. You know how you can tell you ain't been to the well? The sermon is too straight. You know how you can tell you ain't been to the well? The sacrifice is too much. Too many offerings in the church. And the preaching on fire. Some of you young people better listen to me. You can be filled with God when you're 15 years old, 16 years old. I asked my mother the other day, I said, Mom, when did you get saved? She said, 64 years ago. I said, Mom, you got saved 64 years ago, and there been 2 or 3 killings in our family where my granddaddy killed my uncle, and it just, you know, just a bad thing. I said, Mama, nobody in that family lived for God. How did you ever live for God? She said, you know, Jack, Sam Jones and all those men that come to Austin and hold those big revivals. And she said, well, back under in the turn of the century, she said, God done something. And she said, preacher, she said, there wasn't no problem. If you ever been to the well, you can go back home and live with a lost husband. So if you're drinking at the well, I said something about that well. I was reading something about R.A. Torrey one time, and he said a big drought happened up there, and he said when that drought hit, he said the horses began to get without water and the cattle without water, and said his old granddaddy come up the road with his cane, walk along, and he said, what's the matter here? Up in Vermont, and he said, granddaddy said, the well is dry. The old man walked up and he said about 75 years ago, he said, my dad said they dug the well right there. He said, the well right there, they done built a porch over it. And he said, they put some plows and wagons down in there. But he said, if you'll dig down right there. Oh, he said, Grandpa, there ain't no well there. Grandpa, the well's right over there. He said, no, the well's right on this porch. He said, they tore that porch up. He said, they began to pull stuff out of there. He said, all of a sudden that water began. He said, people from miles around began to dry and water their cattle and their sheep and their animals and get water for their homes. All the neighbors came to the Torrey family because the well was flowing. You can't tell me nothing. I'm too far down the road. You ain't gonna tell me nothing. All I know is, if you get a well flowing, somebody will come watch. Because there's something, I went in the cafe, though. That's the swankiest cafe I've ever in my life. I didn't even ask them how much, and I never ate a snail in my life. I never ate a, you ever eat a snail? I'll tell you the truth. They had some big $4 word for me and told me what it was, and this place was so high class, they didn't have a menu. So he told me what that was, and I said, that's what I want, because it sounded so fancy. Then I asked the guy who, he was with me, and I said, now, Brother Wright, what is this? He said, you eat it, you'll like it. And I ate it, I liked it. Then after we got outside and walked around a while, I said, what was it? He said, snail. Well, I said, okay, I'm glad you told me now and not before. Amen. But I got in that place, and there was water just running everywhere in this big, swanky restaurant. And these people took me and my wife out there, and peacocks were everywhere, and I was sitting up in trees, and the water was running. And you know, there's something mysterious about running water. You know, I don't care if somebody started a pump, and they're pumping it, you'll just stand there looking, and you'll just look down, and there's just something mysterious about running water. Flowing water. I don't care what it is, it just does something to the human mind. Maybe God played a trick on us. Maybe God done something inside of us that calls for that something flowing all the time. You know, God did play a trick on a lost man. He can't be satisfied till he's saved. And a saved man, he must have played a trick on him and fixed it where that if there ain't no flow, there ain't no happiness. There ain't no joy. And nobody wants to be around. And all your church members leave and you think it's them. And it's you.
Yeah.
The little boy got up in a January meeting here a while back. He sends a newspaper out me and Dr. Peter Ruckman and a couple more is his text. And he called us everything from, I don't know what else. But he called us all kinds of bad names and what have you. And for some reason another God got a hold of him. And he came to my meeting in January. That's been going on for years. I knew that boy since he was a little bitty kid like that. And so he come to my meeting and he said, Don, I got something to say. I said, help yourself. He said, well, you said you're going to hurt them people. You couldn't hurt that much tonight. So he just got up and he said, I've been wrong. And he said, God spoke to my heart. He said, I wrote everybody on my letter list. And he said, I just wrong. He went over and he sat down. He got back up again. Brother Leach, was you there? Was you there? He got up and he said, Sister Wood, my wife said, our sick. He said, I just want to tell you something. He said, the last meeting your husband held, said he endorsed a check and gave it to my wife to buy some clothes with years ago. But he said, I ain't never been nothing to your family but heartache. And I'm sorry. And sis, I want you to forgive me. That well began to spring up in his heart. He went back home. He called me Sunday. This was back in January. He said, preacher, I don't know how many people have been saved. But he said, God has moved in this place. Well, you think you're right. That's why you want to fight. But when you're right, you don't want to fight. When you're right, you want to pray. When you're right, you want to forgive. The little girl. You sit there, Brother Leach. The little girl walked down the front. She remember my church, Brother Air Leach and a couple of his boys here was out on the street preaching. And her sister-in-law, who had got saved a couple of weeks before, was laying out there with a pair of bikini on. And these boys, they blistered them pretty good, about 1,000 people. And they got in, they got mad. And she said something to some of my ladies or one of my men. And I got a pulpit. I said, best God, you don't like what we preach out here, hit the road. He said, that's what I tell her. Ever sometimes it'd been better if I just went and talked to her. If I'd been a man about it, I'd went and talked to her. I said, I'd went and talked to her. Didn't have nothing to do with the congregation, it was her. So I got up and run my big loud mouth. She hadn't been back to church in months and months and months, but that night she was there. And for 3 hours this service went on and nobody preached. People getting right, people getting saved, people getting in. That little old girl, here she comes. She's not a girl, she's a woman. I've known her all of her life. And she comes and she said, preacher, I'm so sorry. She said, preacher, I went out here and I said some things. I said, darling, It's not your fault. Just an old rough preacher's fault. And I got to apologize to that church. Wrong started back. You said, Brother Wood, I'm scared to apologize to my church. I believe it shows my weakness. No, it shows your weakness when you don't. Let me tell you something, Reverend. When you're wrong, you're wrong. But what you preach, you ought to practice. And this Bible said we're to confess our faults one to another. And when you're wrong, you're just as wrong can be. You ought to get out in the pulpit, and I'll guarantee you one thing, that'll teach people to do the same thing.
Amen.
But the average Baptist preacher thinks he's a pope.
Yep.
He's infallible. Yep. He's orthodox straight. But there ain't no flow. Is that flow enough to separate you from the world? Let me go. That's what he did to Jacob. Jacob said, goodbye. Laban, I'm going home. And he separated himself from Laban. He went back into that land, dug him a well, and all of his family was raised around that well. And thousands of years later, they said, our father Jacob gave us this well. What are you and I going to leave our generation? It separates you from this world. If it would have been to quench the thirst, and it'll satisfy your soul. Look at this well just a minute. Now, when Jacob got back into the land, and he got happy in the Lord and began to dig his little well, he said, what happened? Somebody raped his daughter? Or you said, I thought everything's going to turn out right. No, it probably won't. Probably all turn out wrong. We live in a little old crazy mixed up society that says if you get saved, everything's going to be wonderful. If that's true, then I didn't get saved. Because I've been saved 32 years and ain't been nothing. Hallelujah, glory to God, wonderful, beautiful. No, that didn't happen. That's not the Lord that I met. It's been a back road. Somebody said, I never heard of you. I said, no doubt. Where I preach, nobody, but not many people even listen to me. Amen. I mean, it was on a back road. Wasn't even paved, wasn't even blacktop. The bridge was out every now and then. We come down the back road and slip in the back of the church and in the back of a car, and me and my family have lived for God all these years. Amen, Brother Wood. You got to run your highway. Amen. You got enough to satisfy your soul? Have you got enough that'll send you after the souls of men? Oh, you said, Brother Wood, I said one thing, I'm saved and satisfied. You might be saved, but if that well ain't flowing, you ain't satisfied. Did you notice that word, well, come? You know, I got to looking at that word, and I looked it up in the German, I looked it up in the Danish, I looked it up in about seven different languages. And you know that word's just about the same everywhere you look it up, well, come. In other words, they said, we got a well, would you come? I went all the way back in history and looked that word welcome up, and it was inviting people to come to their well. Yeah. You said, well, Lord, we just invited them, nobody ever comes. Well, I mean, if they don't come, ain't no well. But if you ever, now, Brother Carl, he invites them to come, and about 800 come. And Brother Green, he invites them to come, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, we couldn't even see the crowd. I don't know where they come from. You said, what was it, Brother Wood? I don't know, there's Mexicans and niggers and white trash and whores and prostitutes and gamblers. And Tim Green got a preacher, and he said, how many people is that saved in this building? About 30 grown people raised their hand. And they were. Well, you said, Brother Wood, they won't come around here. You keep believing that, and they won't come. You said, Brother Wood, everybody around here is saved. You keep believing that, and they won't never come. But see, we put a welcome mat out. We said, come, we got a well. Jacob didn't have any problem. Nobody ever run off and left that well, because the rest of that country was a desert. Wonder why Jesus come by there. You said that woman was out. Yeah, but he needed a drink too. He knew them disciples were going to need a drink. He said, we better go by that well. I asked Tim Green out there, I said, Tim, how does that water taste in that well? He said, preacher, that water is just as fresh and as pure as it was the day that Jacob dug it. I mean, said when he went back to heaven, he dug him a well. You've been working on your well lately. Wonder if I just have your children to come in the back room tonight and ask them, is there a little flow down in your house? Or are they just hell raised and arguing and confusion? What's going on down in your house? This criticism of the preacher and the ministry and the word. I mean, really, what's going on? And you know, we can sit around here like 4, 5, 19 if we want to, folks, but we might as well get out of reality. We're going to have a camp meeting. The well is stopped up. He said, I'll have you to know, Brother Wood, I'm doctrinally straight. Yeah, but your church is empty. Welcome. When I was a kid, when you say, well, y'all come. And when they called us, told us coming, what we do? We began to fix up some things. Amen. I knew this wasn't going over tonight, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If it ever gets deep enough sin, you have to sow. If it ever gets deep, you'll have an oversupply. And if you're the only one in town, thirsty sinners will begin to come and take a drink. And tell me, I've been in the ministry 32 years. I've been preaching 32 years. And I just saw some people get saved. I ain't saw no great multitudes get saved, but I saw some people get saved. A fellow come to me one time and he said, you know, Brother Woods, he said, Brother Lackey was probably the greatest preacher in the Carolinas before he got all them buses. I said, is that right? They was holding a camp meeting on one side of town, and Brother Lackey, that was his first year to be with me, and I spent, I don't know, maybe 9 years ago or so. And I said, is that right? I said, well, we had 16 saved last night. I said, now how many did y'all have all week? He said, well, we didn't have anybody get saved, but he said, one lady quit wearing pants, and one guy got his hair cut, and they both needed it, and the other one gave up his TV. I said, he needs to do that too. But if you do all of that, and nobody gets saved, and nobody gets saved, why have a camp meeting? Is y'all going to sit around a bunch of not on the log and sing and shout, and you preach the boys ain't going to preach on the street? I mean, why? The police called me the other day and said, if you don't take them boys off the streets in Houston, they called me, Brother Dan. Brother Dan, you know this to be true. They called us and said, if you don't get them off the street, we're going to hire the men to whip them. I start laughing on the phone. You're going to do what? He said, we're going to whip them. I said, when you jerk the coat off of one of them, you're going to find out he's got a badge on his ass. He's a policeman. And when you hit that car scholar, that boy from Michigan, that done all his life in that Michigan penitentiary, you will have your load. You will have your load. And I said, when you slap that trout named Rick Wyman, you will have more than you handle, mister. He said, the police said, we're just going to turn our back. They picked about 5,000 people in this big flea market, and it's legal. And we got a target to do it. And they told all these people, boys, said, you can't do it. You said, what do y'all do about it? We do it anyhow. When the president then got me a million tracks. How many? A million. What'd you get a million for? Well, a million people used to 4 million now. So it looks like everybody needs a track. You said, Brother Wood, I said, we just not get anybody out of church. Well, you make 2 visits and you'll get nobody. All right, we'll get off of that. We'll get off that. That's in this whole service stuff. I went to a Baptist church all my life. I was raised in a Baptist church. And I didn't want nothing they had. And if I went to that same church tonight, I wouldn't want nothing they had. I asked my mother one day, I said, Mama, is this all that it offers in this Christian world? And I remember, I believe God let it happen just for me in 1958. I saw revival break out, and I saw 58 people get saved. I seen people wave their hands in the river. I saw people shout and praise God, and I've been ruined ever since. That's been 27 years ago, and I know there's a way. I don't know nothing else. I can't. And somebody said, well, give me the recipe, Brother Wood. I'd like to know how you get the water out, all bologna and all that. You just jump in. Amen. every Baptist you want. They want a recipe how to get people saved. They want a recipe how to restore the backslider. They want a recipe how. God ain't got no recipe. God just breaks you and breaks you and breaks you and digs a well in your soul, and God only can do it. Amen. I've seen people. We got a lady in our church that I've prayed on her 3 times with cancer. She's 41 years old, dying as sure as you're sitting on that pew. Only the grace of God. Doctors told her the other day, and the pain is so bad. She said, there's only one thing I want to do. She said, there's 500 women in that jail, and one more time I want to go to that jail every Friday, 7 hours every Friday. 7 hours every Friday. 7 hours every Friday. 7 hours every Friday. Jennifer come up to me. It was something on the plane coming back over here. Jennifer told me, Jennifer Leake said, preacher, I want to tell you, that woman has been a blessing in my life. I said, darling, she's been a blessing to many people's life. But it's in severe trouble. And an old preacher that was her pastor many years ago told me, he said, you know, the reason that God used that woman is because of the pressure and the sickness and the suffering and the sorrow that she's went through. God has dug a well deep in that woman's life. God begins to dig, we begin to run. You said, my wife just don't want to serve the Lord. What's that got to do with you? You said, my husband don't want to serve God. What's that got to do with you? My children don't want to serve God. What's that got to do with you? How deep is your well? If it's not deep enough to tell some poor sinner how to be saved, God help you. God help you tonight. Is it deep enough to send you after souls? Is it deep enough to keep you there when the heat's on? Might as well make it honest tonight. Brother Gray, you can tell us about them 5 boys being preachers. You'd be like Ed DeNant was. Ed DeNant stood up and said, God's been good to me. I stood down in front, I said, Ed, tell it all. He said, well, he said, we had a wreck. He said, my wife got her leg cut off. And my daughter took this some kind of incurable disease, and he began to tell 100 things. And Don Green could stand up here and tell you 100 things that happened, and some heartache and sorrow that nobody would know about. If God ever digs a well, I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to put you under that pressure, and God's going to break you, and you're going to know when it happened, and you ain't going to have to wonder why he halfway broke me, and he started here, and he started. No, you're going to know when it happened. Amen. You said you're teaching a second work of grace. No, I'm just telling you that when grace gets a hold of you, grace will do something to you. Grace will just take you like that and just put you and pulverize you and crack you and crush you and do something to you that nobody else can do. And there ain't no little recipe to give you to run down to the altar and get you a short fifth there. How long did it take Jacob to get well? I don't know if it took him 20 years to get back where the well was. It took him 20 years to get back where God wanted the well dug. All I know, but he sure did leave a testimony. You got enough praise? Well, I got to looking over there in Genesis 21:14-19. You know, when that woman there, you know, Abraham put her out. Abraham said, you go on. Her and that boy went out there, and I mean, her and that boy Ishmael, here they went, and then Hagar, and it said, and she got so weak she couldn't see, and she looked up, what she see? Well. You know when God shows us a well and we're so weak we can't see nothing else? We have, and it's okay with me, I don't care what you do, but we've had so many seminars. We've got seminars on faith. We've got seminars, and this is wonderful, we got seminars on the home, and we got seminars on this. But let me tell you something. I asked an old Mexican woman the other day that couldn't even talk a word of English, had a dirt floor house, lived like just one block from Boys Town in Matamoros, Mexico. I said, how did you raise them 5 preacher boys? She said, well, I knew all them prostitutes. There was about 2,000 over there. And she said, I just kept telling them about the Lord and telling them about the Lord. And she's got five pinky boys raised on a dirt floor down in Mexico. Her husband was killed in a gun battle. She could have said, I quit. She got five pinky boys tonight. In the dirt floor. God can give a well in poverty. Sometimes it's hard to find a well in plenty. But the Apostle Paul said, I know how to be obeyed, and I know how to abound. In other words, he said, I know how to suffer need, and he said, I need to know how to have want. And he said, I know how to handle poverty, and I know how to handle plenty. We got a lot of Baptists who know how to handle poverty. They can come back and pray. But when they get plenty, they run out on God. You got to learn how to handle both of them. Because God might so choose to give you poverty. Did you handle that? You said, yes. Then God might turn around and give you plenty. And they wonder how you're going to handle that. You said, I won't have any trouble with it all. Is that right? Read your Bible. More people had trouble with plenty than they did with poverty. Amen? Is your well deep enough to refresh you? He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God can refresh you in the heat of the day. God can relax you when the pressure is on. God can refill you when it looks like you've been run dry. Well, is it deep enough? Shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? Wells of salvation. Some of you Baptists think that says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the knowledge of salvation. Some of you Baptists think that says, therefore with joy shall you draw waters out of soul winning of salvation. But it said out of the wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. You got a well tonight? Is it poison? Is it polluted? Is it stopped up? Somebody done dropped an old rug in it? Some old bitterness in it? Some old criticism in it? It sure is quiet around here tonight. John Mitchell said when a bulldog got you by his leg, it's hard to say amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is it deep enough to get you clear through the judgment seat of Christ? You're born to the judgment seat of Christ. And as sure as you're born tonight, and I believe I can get every man of God been preaching here, he'll say amen. And the Bible said God's going to try them works not how big they were, but what sort they were. I believe the S-O-R-T is what God is looking at. And he's going to know whether you've done this with joy and the well springing up and people looking around saying, man, I'd like to be a Christian like them. I asked two little old thugs this past week, got saved. I said, why did y'all get saved? And they said, we want to be like Rick and Frida. We want to be like them. Said, we live over here all shacked up, living like the devil. And said, we got to look into their pure, clean lives and the joy that was on them and the happiness that was in them. And we wanted to be like them. I wonder if anybody's ever wanted to be saved because of what they saw in you. Sometimes we get up on Sunday morning, it's mean as a snake. We say we're going to skin the saints. That's all right. That's meaningful sometimes. It's just kind of how, what sorts you're in when you do it. Just kind of where the well was flowing that morning and God was saying, skin. You said, preacher, you ever skin them down? In the flesh sometimes, most of the time. You said, well, them goats need skinning. Goat hides ain't worth nothing. If you skin a sheep, you'll freeze to death. You said, I'm in the business of shearing. You shear sheep a couple times a year and just worm them once a year. Thank you, Brother Wood. Is that well deep enough for the judgment seat? Maybe it's just the hole. The Bible said the hole returneth to the waller. Have you got a waller or where? Have you got a slap hole or where? I mean, just boys came to me today and they said, you know, we was coming up the road and said, he said, just look like God got in that car. He said, we rode all the way from Texas up here, six of us, and he said, man, we just praised the Lord all the way here. And out of your bed, it should flow rivers of living water. See, you don't have to talk about Brother so-and-so and this bunch of dead Baptists and all that. You don't have to talk about all that. Brother Green, I told my church this last Saturday night. I said, I have Carl Lackey down here to skin y'all. I said, I have Don Green to come down here to help me. I said, y'all need Carl Lackey. I said, I need Don Green. There's some men that can help you. He said, they can't help me. Well, I know it. If you ain't got no well, anybody can help you get it cleaned up. I told my church that. He said, well, Brother Wood, Brother Green, I came up to your place and I ran down the road and one of his boys would talk about the government and he changed the subject and he said, I want to show you these trees here, Brother Wood. And he'd show me them great trees and miss them. And then he'd go over here and show me this and show me that. And I've always just been kind of over critical of everybody anyway. And I guess I fought them modernists out there in Texas so long. And that country out there is 1,000 miles of water hole to water hole. Instead of having that spring, I mean, you know. But years ago, when I went to Michigan a few years back, it just seemed like there was God added something to my life that I needed. Every man, God give you a little something from each man. Help your well a little bit. Kind of clean it up and clean the water up a little bit. Yeah. I'm trying to talk to you tonight. But the devil don't care what you talk about as long as it's dirty enough to well. He don't even care what you're thinking about as long as it's dirty enough to well. He don't even care what you're testifying about as long as it's dirty enough to well. I hear people get up and give a testimony. They talk about the Southern Baptist and the Lord. Hey, everybody knows where they're at. Where's the well? If people get up and talk about people who don't believe the King James Bible, well, what are you doing about the well since you do believe it? Let's pray.